From the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
And 2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass, always 420 at Buddy's. It's NFL Championship Weekend, Eve. That's right, 12 o'clock on Sunday, Niners-Eagles, 3:30 Bengals-Chiefs, both games right here on 93.3 KJR-FM. Huskies beat the Sun Devils last night in men's college basketball. Cougs lost to Arizona. They flip-flopped their opponents this weekend. Kraken hosting Calgary tonight, 7 o'clock. 6:30 pregame show right here on 93.3 KJR-FM. And Geno Smith named the Comeback Player of the Year and Most Improved Player of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association of America. Let's get to the Bay Area right now, huh? Talk a little NFC title game in the Bay Area with a good buddy. He's down there standing by right now. All right, here we go. Lots to get to today as far as the NFC and the AFC championships, but we'll focus in on the NFC title game right now. Joining me on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline is, we're coming at you today, by the way, from the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook today. So we'll try to see if this guy can give us some picks along the way. John Lund joins us, KNBR 49ers pre, halftime, post game host, and of course my former co-worker down in beautiful Salt Lake City, 1320K fan, RIP. Rest in peace to the big old Utah sports
leader.
It's never
good that you brag about a place that you were at that is now shut down.
Hey, you know, we really, why did we shut it down? We shut it down because we started another station.
That's true. It wasn't us. But usually it's like, you know, I really set the ground for the work for this successful business. Oh, by the way, that successful business that I set the groundwork on, yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, well, yeah. I blame Locke. It was his station, right? How are you, buddy? How are you?
Good. By the way, just betting advice, since you are hanging at a casino today, here's the greatest piece of betting advice I can give you. You could build a house and a life maybe on the bets if you just bet against me. So last week I was on with Brent Musburger's piece down in Las Vegas,
Right.
Network. And so they go, what do you think? Over under on this Dallas-San Francisco game. Come on, man. Nobody stopped the 49ers. They scored 41 on Seattle every time. They scored 30-plus, blah, blah, blah. Take the over, man. Pound the over. Was it 19-12? It wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close. Okay, so
I say the opposite, you'll win.
Well, because so, this will be – okay, so Christian McCaffrey rushing yards, over under 57.5.
Under.
I think really? Really?
Well, here's why. I don't know how bad
the great rush defense. Oh, well, that's the question, right? Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing is Trent Williams came out and he said this last year, too. He had a really bad ankle injury against the Rams in the NFC Championship game last year, and he played on it. And he came out again. He said this earlier this year, but he came out again yesterday and said, look, I did my team a disservice. I shouldn't have played. You and I both know this, and people listening certainly know this, too. There's a big difference between a guy playing and a guy playing the way he normally plays. Mm-hmm. And so I think Christian McCaffrey's fine. I think his ankle's going to be fine. He was asked yesterday if there's any chance he was not going to play, and he looked into the camera and said zero. So, you know, I feel good. But the other reason why I think I'm under 57 is that Elijah Mitchell is going to run the ball a lot north-south. I think that they're not that they're going to necessarily split carries, but they're also going to get Christian McCaffrey in the slot involved in the passing game. So what you would call an extended kind of a handoff, which is going to be a pass, he's going to do a lot of that too. So I go under, which means go over and win.
So that is, I guess we're looking at it then. So McCaffrey is a concern then, is what you're telling me. And I'll wagering aside, the McCaffrey issue is there.
Well, I only think that because not that he's technically practicing. And again, you know this, you go out to all this stuff. So they hang out for a little while, and then we get to see some of it. Then they shut the doors on us, and they do what they really do. And we do know this because McCaffrey was leaving the locker room suited up, but he just did walkthrough. So they're doing full speed. And then what they do with walkthrough, for the listeners who don't know, is they put you in certain spots so that you know where to go on certain plays, but you're not running the play necessarily. So he hasn't practiced all week long. And again, that doesn't mean he's not going to play. It just means that he's probably compromised a bit with that ankle. And so, you know, I think he's going to play, but to the level that he's normally at, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting as you say that, because I'm looking here at my app, which at Snoqualmie Casino, you got an app. We can use an app, and it's big up here for us. Everything with McCaffrey and Mitchell right now is locked. You can't wager on those two guys with the prop bets, which does tell you that Vegas knows. Snoqualmie Casino, they know, right? They know there's an issue there. And that's I just wonder with – I like Elijah Mitchell. I mean, I like him a lot. But I know you guys have been breaking it down all week. How good is that Philadelphia defense, do you think?
Well, I think it's really good, and it's good to the extent that a team that wants to run it 30-plus times a game, and Kyle's record when the 49ers do run it 30-plus times a game is like 85% win. And I think it's something like 17-2. I don't know. That's not 85%. It's higher. But and I'm not good at math. But the fact is that I'm not good at anything. But he's really good. Elijah Mitchell's really good. But what they're going to do is, I think, is they're going to try to do the short passing game early down. So what they did against Dallas, it was first down, second down, throw the ball. Well, then the Dallas pass rush was getting to Brock Purdy. And so I think what they want to do is just quick hitters where they think the advantage is in the middle of the field. And you know this, because after Jordan Brooks went out for the Seahawks, I mean, that middle of the field between the numbers has become the it place for offenses to attack, right in the middle, the short middle type stuff. 49ers want to just quick hit that stuff so that they find themselves, you know, even if they got 4 yards in their second and six and third and three, that's what they're where they want to find themselves the entire game. Against Dallas, too many times they were third and five plus, third and seven, third and eight. And then Micah Parsons and that whole crew was coming after him. And Brock Purdy, I wouldn't say he struggled, but, you know, the best thing that people said about him after that game was, well, he didn't turn it over. Well, that's great. Yeah. He's going to have to be better than that to beat Philadelphia.
The Pete Carroll line would be, like, if a guy struggles, we'll ask him, and he'll say, well, he got through it.
Great.
And Brock Purdy got through it.
And that may work in the middle of the season against, you know, whatever, against the Jets or the Chargers or whomever. But you're playing in the NFC Championship game, and you can't just not turn the ball over. You can't just not be efficient. I mean, those teams, you know, the Ravens when they had Trent Dilfer and the Bears of the 80s and the Steelers of the 70s. I mean, there are certain teams who could do that. 49ers have the number one defense in the league, but they're not to that elite level. So the offense has to make plays.
One of the things I look at that I think is so effective with what the 49ers do, and we saw it a couple times, and they really seem to use Jennings in this role. Now, it does take a little bit longer time because so pass protection, you have, you know, Dallas got to Purdy, as you mentioned a couple times, but and made him uncomfortable, got him off his spot a couple times too. But those crossing patterns that Kyle has drawn up, I mean, I in my mind, I can see right to left Jennings, left to right Ayuk. I mean, and those killed Seattle, but there were some big plays 49er-wise as well. You talk about attacking the middle of the field. It feels like that's kind of how he wants to do it outside of the obvious with Kittle.
Yeah, and that's where most of Purdy's throws have gone, and that's where everybody's picking against the 49ers, that's where they think they can pick on the Eagles. And when, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a nice player, and they're going to get Maddox back, their nickel guy, which brings him back to safety. Their linebackers are good, but Hassan Reddick would much rather be going forward than backwards. And so, you know, they're going to try to do some things to confuse Brock Purdy. He's still a rookie, as much as everybody's kind of hyping him up. You know, they're gonna drop certain guys out. That's just what they do. But they just feel like you said, with all those weapons, they're going to find a way. And you know what? And this is just how they work. And they did it against Seattle. They had 10 explosives, 5 runs, 5 pass. And what they hope to do is 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 70 yards. Because you're not going to consistently go 80 on Philadelphia's defense. They're really good. But you know, they do. They look, they're the underdog. They should be an underdog. They've got to play. Purdy's got to play a pretty perfect game. They can't turn it over is where it needs to start. But they're going to need some big plays in this game. And again, looking back at Dallas, and this is why I think so many people are picking the Eagles, is they didn't have a great offensive day. They weren't able to get explosives. They struggled against the speed of Dallas's defense. Hopefully Purdy, from a 49ers perspective, not a Seattle perspective, but a 49ers perspective, can adjust to the speed. He's saying all week long that it was a really good thing for him. You know, Dallas has a good pass rush, and they're really good. They had like 54 sacks. Philly had 70. They have 10 guys, or they have 4 guys with 10 or more sacks. I mean, this is a ferocious defense, so he's got his work cut out for him. There's no question.
How much more do they use Debo in the backfield, or just Debo, period? It felt like they got away from him a little bit. I don't know if it health-wise where he's at, but John, that guy is such a massive weapon for what San Francisco wants to do.
I agree with you 100%. Before the Seattle game, I was saying it was going to be a Debo day because they kind of slow play him during the season because he plays so physically, and they realized they could win games without him. They kept him out a couple of games, maybe extra, that they didn't have to, just in preparation for the playoffs, and they unleashed him pretty good against Seattle, and then last week he kind of got lost. I got to believe that he's a big part of the game plan, because what they want to do is they want to impose their physicality on you early in the game and set a tone. And so I think that Debo is part of that, Kittle is part of that, Elijah Mitchell north and south is part of that, but you've got to be able to do that. And to do that, you got to get Debo. And so I think he hasn't been used a ton in the backfield. He was more against Seattle, but I think that when you say, okay, McCaffrey is limited a little bit, and they're going to use him maybe more in a slot position, then what's going to happen in terms of, you know, Debo and the physicality? I think Debo, Elijah Mitchell, those are the type of players that can add the physical element to their game, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Other side of the football, I love how, you know, okay, Purdy doesn't have the experience. We all know that. Jalen Hurts has, what, one playoff win to his credit last week? You know, a relatively easy one. But I just, in my mind, the back of my mind, I just picture a year ago Jalen Hurts in the playoffs, and at times looked kind of over his skis. Feels like he's a totally different quarterback. But what are the 49ers saying about that offense for Philadelphia? That I mean, number one team, and can't deny what he did in the regular season. But frankly, he hasn't proven it in the playoffs either.
Yeah. Two guys really scare me. The last time you may or may not remember this game. It was a Thursday night game right before Christmas, and everybody probably had relatives in town. We're already trying to get away from them on December 23rd. But it was a Thursday night game against the Titans on Thursday Night Football on December 23rd, 2021. So last season. And A.J. Brown was compromised and really couldn't run, and the 49ers still couldn't stop him. I mean, seriously, I wasn't at the game, but I was sitting in our studio, and it was like, they're going to A.J. Brown, every third down, and he was so physical and big. And it was kind of like what DK did to the 49ers in that game. They just could not cover him, and what Philly's going to do is they're going to try to get him on Demo Lenore, who you all know up there. He played with the Ducks. He's not bad. He's undersized. And so the last time they saw A.J. Brown, he absolutely crushed him, and they knew the ball was going to him. So that's going to be a big game plan for them. And then as far as Jalen Hurts is concerned, they're going to mush rush him a little bit, like what used to happen to Russ up there in Seattle after a while, because he would get out into those lanes on, you know, third and five or fourth quarter when it was a key drive or something. And so they'll come at him at certain times, and then they're just going to try to surround him at certain times so he doesn't get out of the pocket. And then the other thing is, if he does any zone read, you remember why the zone read died? Because the quarterback, it was actually in the Super Bowl 47, the 49ers against the Ravens. And Terrell Suggs hit Colin Kaepernick every single time, because once you go to that mesh point and do that fake, then that protection of the quarterback is over. And
yeah, you
can
pop
slammed.
Him. So yeah, you can
that's
pop
exactly
him.
That's exactly right. But you lose that for a second, and they're just going to hit him and hit him and hit him. And look, I'm not saying that they're trying to injure Jalen Hurts, but let's just say that they will make sure that shoulder is okay.
Well, you don't want any part of the backup, buddy. I'm telling you right now, you want no part of Gardner Minshew. So if I was
what happened to that guy, man? He was good in Jacksonville. Like he
did
was.
You see,
he was good.
Listen, that Dallas game that they lost. That wasn't his fault. I mean, it was the defense gave up a ton of points. Remember Dak and that's back when the kicker could kick back then. It wasn't up.
Right.
Hey man, don't be throwing any kind of, you know, shade at our guy Gardner, man. I'm just telling you, if I'm San Francisco, I would not want to hurt Hurts. I'd want to make sure he stays in there, because you want no part of Gardner Minshew.
I like Gardner Minshew. In fact, one of the reasons why down here they think that they have a chance is everybody's been watching the Dallas film, in which they scored 40 and they actually didn't throw in the ball. They fell behind 10-0. And the other one is Washington, and Jalen Hurts was in that game, but they turned the ball over four times in that game. Washington ran it 49 times. Had a time of possession advantage of 40-20. I mean, I don't think the 49ers are going to do that. But those two games are the games that make them believe that maybe they have a chance. And just real quick, it's not like Philly's impenetrable. You know, they're a really good team. But like we had, you know, Merrill Reese, he's the voice of the Eagles. Yeah. He came on, and I was like, what about the quarterback? He's the best of all time. What about the defense? He's the best of all time. That's the best of all time. What about this guy? Oh, he's the best. You can't do anything. And the Philly crowd's going to be crazy. You have no chance. Might as well not even get on the plane. I was like, lighten up, Francis. Like, seriously? I mean, come on. These aren't the Steelers of the 70s on defense. I mean, they're good. And I respect them, and I think they'll probably end up winning. But it's not like the 49ers are going down there to lay down. They've been there. Been the NFC Championship game three of the last 4 years. Kyle's pretty smart. So, look, I'm sure Seattle fans want them to lose, but they're not going to lay down in Philadelphia. I can tell you that.
No, it's funny that Merrill would say that. Listen, I covered the playoff game there. The Seahawks played three years ago. And
DK made that great catch to seal it, right?
DK had 160 yards on them. But here's the thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much for that fan base to turn on their own team.
Right.
Like, they might be great at the start. Like, they're great at the start. One thing goes south, and it's over. I mean, your home field advantage, like, Bosa comes in and smokes him from, you know, or Warner makes a play. You're going to be like, oh, okay, well, here we go. In Philadelphia, they'll turn on him.
You know what's amazing? I was at a game. I was at a Phillies game one time, and I think it was Jimmy Rollins, because he was from Oakland, and we actually went in and talked to him before the game, and da-da-da-da. And Rollins, in his first three at-bats, it's something like this, gets like two doubles, a single, knocks in like six runs, and they're down in the ninth inning like 7-6. Rollins comes up, and he like bounces to short. The dude had like six RBIs in the game, was absolutely awesome. He bounces out in the ninth inning. Boo! Boo! And And I'm looking around going, what the hell is wrong with you people? Like, he had six RBIs and like three extra base hits, and he bounces to short in his final at bat, and you're booing him off the field. What is wrong with you? But that's what you're exactly right.
That's Philly in a nutshell. John Nadlon, KNBR, joining me. Just to wrap up the offense of Philadelphia real quick, I know what they want to do with Brown. I just think, look, I am so bullish on the linebackers for San Francisco. And I think that's kind of the great equalizer. You know, whatever happens up front, that's a good offensive line for Philadelphia, especially if they're healthy. And I think Johnson's back and all that, everything else. But, man, Warner and Greenlaw, I mean, that's a tough tandem. And, what's his name? Shahir? I mean, they're good. Like, they're really good. That's a great equalizer to me.
Yeah, Azeez Al-Shaair is the other one, and I think they're the best trio in the league. And again, look, I'm not homering on this. Fred Warner is the best middle linebacker. He made All-Pro. He's what Bobby Wagner used to be to the Seahawks. I mean, he just has great speed, great range. He was a safety in college. He made a great play down the field against CeeDee Lamb on a deep ball through the middle. He's just really, really good. He's got great instincts in the run game. He can blitz through the middle, underrated in that regard. So, he's got to be absolutely great in this game. And then the other guys, Dre Greenlaw is kind of dealing with being banged up. But, he's very underrated. He's one of those guys that's going to make a ton of plays. And that's where I think they believe they can win, because the game in the NFL, not exclusively, but certainly a lot of it, has come down to that middle of the field between the numbers. They're trying to get it to playmakers who make plays and make you miss a tackle. And, you know, in San Francisco, when we were in our heyday playing you guys in Seattle, it was Willis and Bowman before actually he got hurt at your place. And they patrolled the middle, and that's just what teams look for, what Jordan Brooks has and what Seattle's got to add to in the middle of the field between the middle and your linebackers and how active they have to be and your safeties and how active they have to be. That's a lot of the game nowadays. That's where teams are attacking you offensively, and that's what Philly will do. They will attack the middle of the defense, and the 49ers believe that their middle is better than Philly's middle. Now, that's not going to be the only thing, but in terms of some of the key matchups, that's certainly one of them.
You mentioned the Kyle, and they've been there before. I mean, there's no doubt that they geared up this year, went out and got McCaffrey. The quarterback situation is what it is, but, I mean, the guys come in there, you can't argue with what Brock Purdy has done. How much do you think that intangible does come into play? You don't have home field advantage, but you do have the experience of being to those NFC championship games. Guys like Warner and Williams and Greenlaw and others have been there. Ward's been there. Those guys have been there. They know what it's like.
You know, I struggle with this because, first of all, I think it means a lot. I think it means a lot that they've gone to this place. Trent Williams used to play in Washington. He knows what Philly is about, and they're talking a bunch of trash. Look, I tell you this, it's not louder than Seattle in the playoffs, and they've been there plenty of times. I mean, it's just, it's the East Coast, and we know how the East Coast works. They think they're the best at everything, the best fans, the this, the that. But as you pointed out, if things go south, they'll flip on you. They got great fans, and I'm not saying they don't, but the 49ers have played just like the Seahawks through the years in a lot of really important games, and they're not going to be intimidated by it. And I think too much is made of it, because what happens is you talk about everything. You know how these things work. You talk about everything. You break everything down, and now it's about the players. And Deebo Samuel said something earlier this week, like, hey, our place is loud too. We're not intimidated by it. And they're just not. It's kind of their mentality. And again, I'll go back. It's similar to what the Seahawks had when we were going back and forth with you guys. They don't care when you're a really good football team, you don't care where you're playing. In fact, you use it to your advantage that they're yelling and screaming at you. And then you make a couple of plays and the play shuts up, and then the pressure all of a sudden flips to the home team. So look, it's an advantage, but I mean, Cincinnati's going into Kansas City. Do you think they're worried about it? They've won at Kansas City before. It's not going to come down to screaming Chiefs fans. It's going to come down to the game. And so the 49ers, I think, relish the fact, much like the Seahawks used to relish the fact to come in here and eat turkey on our field. I mean, that's, if you're a good football player and you're a good team, wherever the game is played is fairly immaterial. We talk about it a ton as a media, but the players, they enjoy it actually a lot of times.
I would tell you this. We had John Schneider on 2 days ago, Seahawks general manager, and he talked about specifically, goes, San Francisco is what we used to be, and we have to get back to that. And he talked about the physical, kind of the bully ball, just the physical nature of how they play. That travels. that style of football
travels.
100%
right. Well, that's what Kittle said it this week. Elijah Mitchell said it this week. Trent Williams said it this week. You know, the reason they lost the NFC Championship game a year ago was, first of all, Trent Williams was compromised, but the Rams played for the first time in forever against the 49ers a physical football game. They matched the 49ers, mm-hmm. and they hadn't done that before, and that's why they won the football game. I mean, look, the 49ers had a 10-point lead in the NFC Championship game going into the fourth quarter, and they lost it. So they weren't intimidated by the road and that jackass whose house?
I mean, that guy, the worst PA announcer in the history.
Worst stadium in football. Anyway, that's a whole nother. But anyway, yeah, I know they're not going to be into it.
Hey, before I wrap it up, just you mentioned it. Who do you like, Cincinnati, Kansas City? Again, I might be sitting in a sports book right now at Snoqualmie Casino. Who do you like?
And again, just bet against me and buy yourself a house. I did. Cincinnati's on a roll. Joe Burrow's really good. And, you know this just like I know this. Hey, look, you have a high ankle sprain. That's wonderful that you think that you're going to be not compromised by the whole thing. And you can say everything you want. You don't get over a high ankle sprain in a week. And there are certain quarterbacks like Brady who really wouldn't really matter because he's not moving a lot anyway. Patrick Mahomes doesn't just sit back in the pocket 1-2-3 and throw the ball. He moves, and he was compromised in that last game. And if anybody in the playoffs but Jacksonville was playing Kansas City, they'd already be out of the playoffs. So some of it depends on how well Patrick Mahomes can move around in the pocket. I have a feeling he's not going to be himself, and Cincinnati doesn't even need that break to beat him.
Yeah, how long and thick and harsh is that needle going to be that goes into his ankle, man? Oh, I can't even think about that. Huh?
I know, right? God, that's it. Just, they're going to, like you said, they're going to
shoot his ass up. Man. Oh, man.
These guys.
Brutal. Yeah.
They're otherworldly, man. It's like, can you imagine? It's like, okay, we're going to stick this needle in your ankle. It's like, no, I just won't play. I'm good. Yeah, no, no. Yeah. Don't care. Get that away from me.
We'd be in the fetal position in the corner. Like, I don't think so.
Bottle of whiskey. Like, here, I'll just do it myself.
Hey,
I'll take care of the pain.
Let's go old school with that, right? Just, yeah, you just get a little brown water, and that makes you feel better. All right. Hey, have a great broadcast this weekend. If you guys make the Super Bowl, I'm going to bother you again. So just FYI.
Yeah, I'll be down there, man. I'll be out there either way. But, you know, I'd like to take the Niners with me, but I know people around there.
You might be rooting against us now that I'm going to bother you again. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
All right, man. Good to talk to you.
That is John Lund. We'll come back to the Snoqualmie Casino. We'll check the text line, 49451. Tell them where to do text line. When it's game time, it's Tully time. We'll do that next, 93.3 KJRFM.
Talk it over. Talk it over. Now back to Football Friday with Ian Furness. Proudly brought to you by Bud Light on your home for the 12th man in the NFL.
Ladies and gentlemen, need we say more?
Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
All right, we're back in the Snoqualmie Casino. Seattle's closest. Clean, classy, and close. 30 minutes from downtown Seattle, Snoqualmie Casino. Ian and Jessamine are here. Checking out my man Zach. My buddy Zach's here hanging out. He had some success already, huh?
Yeah.
You know what?
His wife saver machine?
Hey, you know what we should do? Yeah, it's the frog. Is it the frog? Is it the pig? The pig, that's the machine.
One of those animals.
Yeah, the machine. It's called the pig. I mean, you know what? Remind me on Monday, because, I mean, he just walked over there, won $100, and walked back in here, bought himself a beer.
A machine's not hot anymore.
You know what? Jim Moore, gambling's easy.
That has happened to me before over at Northern Quest.
Yeah?
Yeah, just, you know, kind of waiting before a Cougar event one time.
Oh, yeah.
For $20 in a machine, and, you know, and it goes ding, 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 ding. It's like $230, and I was like, I'm out.
I'm out. That's the best.
That's the way I do it.
Today's slot machines are, I mean, they're just addictive.
Because I have a bet. I'm not going to share it on the air.
No, don't share it on the air.
No.
Until you win on Monday, and then you can tell them how easy it is.
Hey, man, don't.
All right, what do we got?
Okay, so your boy John Lund has stirred up some hackles. I love how John, this is from the 253. I love how John tries to paint the 49ers as some big underdog. The line is 2.5, so on a neutral site, it's basically a pick 'em. Come on, guy. the 206. So the same sentiment. You need to replay this interview on Monday after the Eagles completely pound the 49ers.
I love that. See, Lund knows what he's doing. He can stir up the pot here. I like it. Throw the into the hornet's nest. I like this from my buddy Keith Miller. You'll see a Keith Miller text almost
every
day.
Noticed.
Yeah, our buddy Keith.
He's around.
Does rap have room for another child? I want an illusionist at my birthday party.
That sounded pretty good. It sounded like Ian had just as much fun, if not more, than his son.
Yeah, Jess, if you ever have kids, you're going to notice. It's like, at some point, kids' parties turn into parents' parties.
You know, I have friends with little kids, and there's the section.
I don't know what the date is. It's probably like by the time they're like, you know what? It might be when they're one. Hey, let's have a one-year-old party. Well, the one-year-old doesn't know you're having a party.
Right.
But the parents do.
You know what, though? That's at that point, everyone's fawning over the baby. I'm thinking more like five.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You buy the kids some entertainment. Yeah. You get a cooler out back.
Yes.
Everybody, you know, you get a babysitter. The clown's babysitting everybody.
The clown?
I don't know. They still do that.
Cinderella comes by. Sure. Hey. You know, all that stuff. Yeah.
Hey, absolutely. Someone from Frozen, please make sure my kids are alive. Oh, man. The 253 says, I absolutely hate how John Lynch has built up a collection of likable dudes. I won't root for them, but I won't root against them. Path of least resistance is the Bengals.
That's kind of how I feel. Like, that's kind of how I feel. I don't need the Chiefs to win.
No.
Plus, I kind of like that stat of the 13% with the quarterback
I
salary.
I do, too.
So I don't want to see Mahomes win because that would blow that out of the water. But I do. And I think, I mean, the Bengals are a miserable, suffering group of fans in Cincinnati.
I mean, so. they make it, they lose. They make it, they lose. Now, like, I mean, last year they made it.
Well, if you missed our
interview. And they lost.
If you missed the interview with John Schneider this week, you know, along the line of the 49ers, he talked about the fact the 49ers are kind of who the Seahawks used to be. And that is kind of hard for a Seahawks fan to hear. You know, they're physical and they're big and tough and physical. And like Schneider said, that's who we used to be. That hurts if you're a Seahawks fan to hear that.
I mean, at least I would say at least he's acknowledging it. You know, he's not pretending that they're something else. That I mean, he sees what the fan sees, and you don't hear that from executives all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. We've got a lot of people, you know, throwing in their picks. Bengals over the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Eagles, Bengals. A lot of people in here do think that it's going to be an Eagles-Bengals Super Bowl, myself included.
Yep.
I haven't picked the winner, if that is the case, quite yet. But they did, that's a lot of them. Who are you guys? You know, 49451. Also, Ben wants to know, Ian, does the 10-1 show have your blessing today to play the Hall of Fame music?
Oh,
did they use it?
Oh, they probably used it again. So this is a bit we did, I don't know, whenever it was. Travis Homer was drafted 4 years ago. Does that sound right? I know he hasn't signed a second contract. So let's say it was 4 years ago that Travis Homer was drafted.
3 or 4, yeah.
So when Homer was drafted, and it was during the course of training camp, there was a point where like everyone was fawning over Travis Homer.
You know what? It was 4 years ago because I go everything like, was that pre-COVID or during COVID?
Yeah, it would have been 4 years. Yeah, because he just finished his fourth year.
Yes.
So he was drafted, and somewhere along the line, I came up with a sarcastic bit, and Kevin just started throwing in the Hall of Fame music, you know, that music. You know, he was a lightly regarded seventh round draft pick from the University of Miami. He's evolved into one of the most inconsistent performers in the NFL. He is a training camp Hall of Famer, Travis Homer. And so we started playing that all the time.
I like it.
Every time we mentioned Travis Homer, because it was like between the coaches' effusive praise and then, you know how the media is. There's a groupthink mentality, and four people wrote the same story about Travis Homer on one day. Because they brought him to the podium. Everyone wrote the story, Travis Homer story. He's the greatest thing ever. And then when he actually was a starting running back, we realized that he can't make anybody miss. Like, he can run over guys. He can't run around or by guys. So then we have more fun with the Hall of Fame music.
Very
so now, if you've listened to it this week, those guys have been using the Hall of Fame music for Al Woods.
Oh.
I believe is what Ben
would this seems like not lighthearted.
But you know what? I'll take stuff from them. The one thing, Jessamine has come here, and she has helped us realize that if the whole boat rises with everyone, you know, right?
It's so not, we share.
There's no competition here. The whole boat rises. They want to use my Hall of Fame music, they can use it whenever they want.
Not inside these iHeart walls.
Much like when I stole their voicemails to point out how dumb their listeners were the other day.
You know what? That was a good repurposing.
Yes.
I'm going to use that word.
Yes.
The 360 said, I would rather have San Francisco win for one selfish reason. The later they draft, the better for us in general terms. I don't think three spots is going to make that big a difference in their future.
Yeah, but you know what?
We'll
take 32 for them. That'd be all right. We'll take 32. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Are we good?
It's 253, one more. Okay. If Patty Mahomes, this I don't agree with. If Patty Mahomes plays, it does not mean he's superhuman. It means he was a very light sprain, a scare. No. A high ankle sprain is never a light or a scare. It is very serious.
If and when he plays, which he will play. He's not even on the injury report, so he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that he has a high ankle sprain, and he took a needle, as I mentioned with Lund, that's about, you know, the size of that. See that silver thing there holding up the stanchion?
The stanchion?
Yeah, that'd be about what his needle's going to look like to go into his leg.
Ooh.
That's what it
does give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it does.
You guys were talking about it. But, I mean,
no,
Ian Rappaport was telling you earlier that he was jogging. Jogging to the water.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to jog on over to the bar here in about 20 minutes. All right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get a break, and we'll check in with David Mahler. Softy, our favorite guy. He'll join us next. All right, wrapping things up here at the Snoqualmie Casino, Seattle's closest casino sportsbook to downtown Seattle. 30 minutes downtown Seattle. Got the app working. Jess doesn't have the app, but she's got the bug.
We're sitting right here next to the window.
Yeah, you know, walks right up to the window, and yeah. Wait, how about that, Softy? My producer, Jessamyn McIntyre, has placed that wager in there for her.
This is how it starts.
Am I acceptable now?
Well, I'm just telling you, this is how it starts. We're going to check in with you in a year or so, and if you haven't reached full degenerate status by then you're not doing something right. I mean, I remember my first cigarette too, Ian. My first beer. You know how things went from that point on for me, downhill.
All I want is this. I want her to win desperately.
Yeah.
Because I want her to go to Jim Moore. And say,
rub it in his face.
Yeah, just say, this thing's easy, this sports wagering.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just easy.
Well, can you talk about how much you put down, or is that not allowed?
She'll go. Her details are coming up on my.
Are we talking about a significant amount of money that would make her nervous if she lost? That's my question.
It was responsible.
Okay,
but so
it was responsible, but it was a leap for me.
Does the boyfriend know about this? That's the other part of the equation.
It's my money, and it's fiance.
Yeah, fiance and her money. And
technically, if you got a fiance, he's still your boyfriend. I got to be honest with you.
Until
he's your husband, he's your boyfriend and your fiance and some dude that lives with you.
Okay.
He's definitely some dude that lives with me.
Some dude that lives there. This is the guy that lives there.
The amount of money you're throwing down, that it's this or the wedding on the
We keep separate finances.
Oh, do you really? Wow.
Yes.
Good for you.
He's very responsible.
How do you do that, by the way? Teach me.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Well,
too.
I mean, we go in on some stuff together, but I mean, you know, I'm not going to take anything out of his bucket.
I'll tell you what it is, Softy.
So you're going with the Porsche you just bought, then, by the way.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I'm not financing.
Hey, if she wins, she's buying a Porsche. I mean, it's crazy.
It is a significant amount of money.
It's a few thousand.
I don't know. I just refinanced. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that refinance money and away you go. Wager it all.
Huskies against Arizona tomorrow, did you? Take that line.
Can't do that in the state.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
Yeah. Well, what's the line? What's the line on that game? What do you think the line is?
Arizona probably minus 9.5.
They're awful, man.
Let me look.
They're not good.
Let me get a line.
That's a big time overrated team. I'd take Washington all day.
At the game last night against the Cougs.
Yeah, if it's nine,
I don't see a line.
If you could get me 9.5.
Well, I got a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that hangs out behind the dumpster.
I'm going to call you tomorrow. I'm going to get that thing done.
I'm going to be living in a year.
Jump on that, let me know. I got a text last night from a Cougar buddy of mine.
Which one? Casey or one of the Nicholson boys?
I won't tell you his name, but it rhymes with Austin Nicholson. Who texted me last night and had money on the Huskies and the points against Arizona State.
Oh,
man, was he hot when that game went to overtime.
Oh.
And man, was he talking smack when they pulled it off. So, smart Coug, he's taking the dogs, man. I love it.
What were the points, like 2.5?
2.5. 2.5, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, 2.5. His heart was just dying in that quarter three at the end.
Well, they led by 10 with 9 minutes to go, and then about 4 seconds later, the game was tied. So I'm sitting there watching the game last night on my iPad as my dogs are sleeping on my legs. I can't even freaking move, for God's sakes. The wife is half asleep. I'm getting all fired up, and she looks at me and says, "Why do you care about that game?"
Yeah.
Huskies minus 2.5.
Yeah.
Got the under on that thing.
But even that aside, you care because you're still a fan.
I guess so.
My wife asked me that a couple weeks ago when I was watching the Cougs do something that wasn't positive in basketball,
right,
and I was getting mad. And she's like, "Why are, like, what?" And she knows me. She went there. She knows me, and I said, but she kind of the same thing, like, they're not going anywhere this year, why do you care? And I go, I don't know, and it bothers me that I do care. Like, it does bother me. Like, then it bothers me that I see, like, a play that's bad, and somehow it affects me emotionally.
Well, you're
ooh,
a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
it
just,
is.
It's just like, yeah. I'm
you're
getting mad last.
Gambler.
Then you get mad Jessamine, that you're mad.
Yeah, I'm mad that I'm mad. I get mad that I'm mad.
That bet that you made at the Snoqualmie Casino, I want you to look at Ian Furness, and I want you to see your future. That's what you've got.
Wow. Right there. I don't think she'll have a beard that's gray.
You tell
you
yourself,
never know.
When you're 70 years old, you'll look just like him.
God, when I'm 65.
That's a good-looking 70-year-old.
Whatever
out here,
it is.
Baby. That's a good looking
are you 70 yet, by the way?
75.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the greatest mysteries in Seattle. How old is Ian Furness and how old is Matt Johnson? Nobody seems to know.
Stretch?
It's incredible.
Stretch is at least 60.
Oh,
isn't he?
Dude, are you kidding me? He's pushing... I think he's pushing triple figures.
I'm definitely not guy. I'm definitely not 60.
Well, we're at Climate Pledge Arena, and they're going through. You guys probably can hear it in the background. They got the whole pregame production thing going on here right now, with the fancy lights and
the serpents.
Do I
need to call iWiki and tell him we're doing an award-winning radio segment? I can't have that going on in the background next time.
I might just send him a text and just say, look, guy, you want us here? Knock this crap off.
Can you take it down,
our audience deserves better.
Yeah, we don't need to hear the home of the Kraken.
I tell you what, Dave Softy Mahler.
Have you seen that little buoy thing yet?
The mascot?
Yeah, have you seen that?
The little buoy thing?
Is he running around yet?
Did you see that little moose thing?
The little buoy. Is he running around?
I haven't seen little. Wait, did Buoy have a baby?
I don't know. Whatever.
You say little buoy like Buoy had a baby.
Well, aren't they all the same?
Buoy's the name of the mascot.
He's a troll, man.
Right, but he's the name of the mascot.
You know, trolls have lots of kids.
Like, we had a baby.
They're like Mormons.
It's kind of like the teenage version of the...
or you know what? So don't get myself in trouble because I'm one. They're like us Catholics, right?
Wow.
They're like Catholics. Yeah, they're like us.
They're like us Jewish people.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can say that. I can't.
Well, I just
you know,
did.
The troll. Yeah, the troll dolls.
He's a
it's
troll.
Like the
he's
teenage.
Buoy.
It's the teenage version of it. Got the earring with the anchor. The
how many? How many babies did Shrek have? Lots, right? Who is the gal that played his wife? What was the name of the actress?
It's like a whole
again?
Litter.
Cameron Diaz.
It's like a whole litter of them.
How many babies did Cameron Diaz and Mike Myers have in Shrek? They had a lot of babies. Yeah. They're like gremlins. They just keep duplicating over
I
and over
that
again.
One.
Do you think?
Oh my God!
Do you think that if Mike Myers is walking down the street, Cameron Diaz would even give him the time of day? No.
No, not at all.
Oh, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's a weird sense of humor. Sense of humor.
We're fired up for tonight's game.
Yeah, what are we doing? Let's tease the show. We got to get out of here.
The show sucks. You're stupid. Oh, you mean tease it. Like talk about what's coming up.
I know
Hugh Millen. Hugh Millen at 4 o'clock, or excuse me, 5 o'clock. No fun with audio. Dave Tomlinson's going to swing by and talk about that dirty punk-ass bitch, Will Myers.
Hey, garbage. Did I not tell you it was a garbage hit?
You did. You were right.
Yeah.
And Dave Tomlinson used the word garbage. There's a guy walking by with 6 pizza boxes right now. Is there any pizza in those boxes at all? Hello? No? Okay. Go about your business then. All right, guys. See you.
Have a good day. See you
next
time.
Good luck with your bet.
Thank you.
See you. Bye.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying so long, everyone.